So, my daughter Ansley, a picture of her on the screen here. Yes. That's with her friend Hannah. That's Pastor Tyson and Beth's youngest daughter, her BFS. And that means good friends, best friends forever. Anyways, so I don't know if I'm on. Am I on?
Yes.
Perfect. That's good. So, one of the things that I notice about my daughter is that, you know, in the evening time, we get ready to say prayers. And sometimes, you know, she doesn't want to pray. So I ask her about, you know, what are some of the things that you want to pray about? You know, and she'll list off some really interesting things. You know, she'll pray for her friends at school. She'll pray for this girl named JoJo with bows. I don't know what I'll say about that. She likes to pray for our cat, Yoshi. Thankful for the cereal that she gets, her tablet, and her dolls. And those are fun prayers. You know, we pray, and it's always fun to see her face light up. And as I think about her prayers, I'm just so glad. It's not about the content, it's about her heart, about how as she prays and she knows that Jesus loves her deeply, and I'm just so thankful for that. And if there's anything that you'll get out of today, I hope that you understand that Jesus loves you so much. And it's a love beyond our understanding. And so I pray that as my daughter grows up, that she continues to know the love of Jesus and continues to pray those prayers. And as she gets older, I'm thinking that by the time she's 25, she's not going to be praying she'll probably pray for her cat. But anyways, she, you know, pray for her dolls and tablet and things like that. Because as we get older and as we move forward, particularly as we have a faith in Jesus Christ, we start developing an understanding when it comes to prayers, that there's more of a conversation. There are some deep prayers, and also there's some very dangerous prayers, things that we pray that bring some uncomfortability out of us, but yet, even though they are uncomfortable, does not mean that they should not be suppressed. We need to pray those prayers, and dangerous prayers, as we talk about, are going to look at these prayers this week, but we're also going to start praying these prayers. We're calling them dangerous prayers because they are not just easy prayers to pray. Because if you are brave enough, you're brave enough to pray them, something is going to happen in your life. Maybe even something you don't expect will happen. And most of the time, sometimes we pray these safe prayers. Lord, bless me, my family, my children, my church. Lord, give me a good paying job. And Lord, let me do well in this test or this interview. Lord, heal my friend or forgive me for what I did. And believe me, there is nothing wrong with these prayers. Anytime we communicate with God, they are wonderful opportunities. There is no wrong prayer. These are great prayers. Well, let's go a little bit deeper, however. In these dangerous prayers, we invite God into our lives in such a way that dramatic things may happen. We become a different person on the inside when these prayers get answered. Or as we pray these prayers, we put all kinds of things at risk when we begin to pray these dangerous prayers. We change the way that we look at our relationships with people or groups or our hobbies, or our perspective might change as we pray these dangerous prayers. We start to grow in a deeper relationship with Jesus, where He becomes the soul of everything we are. So today we're going to look at a guy by the name of David in Psalm 139 as we look at this first dangerous prayer. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you turn to Psalm 139? You have an app, it's on the screen right here. Or if you want to look for yourself on the Pew Bible, it's in page 428. Now, before we get to this verse, I want to give you a little context. You see it up there, I'm going to read it to you in just a couple minutes. A little context as we move into Psalm 139. This guy, David, is on the run. He is running from people who are his enemies and people who are God's enemies. And he is literally running for his life. as he is being chased because people want to eliminate him from the earth. So there's some stress, there's some angst in David's heart and mind as we go into this psalm. And so here David is ready to give and show God and experience something with God as he prays this really dangerous prayer, and it starts here, 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts, verse 24. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. And so when I think about this verse, it reminds me of spring cleaning. Everybody get involved in spring cleaning. You know, it gets nice or we start to clean things. And so a couple weeks ago, as we were preparing for Resurrection Sunday, we cleaned some of the carpets. And again, give a real yay to Alan Clark, our director of facilities. He does a fantastic job. And along with other volunteers that really made this place sparkle as we partied at Resurrection Sunday. But here's the thing. Whenever you have had carpets cleaned before, as you go through the carpets, and then what you do is, as the tank that takes all the dirty water, you pour it. It is absolutely dirty. It was black. Because if you think about it, there are some very high traffic areas in our sanctuary and around our church. A lot of places to get a lot. We get a lot of people that come here throughout the week. So when I think about this whole understanding of carpet cleaning, and David here is inviting God, it's kind of like carpet cleaning. David is saying, you know my heart, Lord. My heart is a high traffic area. And there's a lot of stuff that accumulates there. So clear my heart. And every now and then, myself and you all need a good cleaning of our hearts to protect or maintain it. It says your heart is the wellspring of life in Scripture. Because we don't want to settle for dustbuster Christianity, where we pick up little crumbs or little things, and then we say, okay, thank you, God, but we push, I don't want that deep clean. I just want a little bit. If you're sitting here today, maybe you've been in that way. Maybe I know I have at times where I'm just like, God, I don't want to fully surrender. I just want to sit. But I believe that Christ wants to come and do a complete work in our hearts to do that deep clean, to prepare for the life that we experience as we live for Him. So what happens when we pray this prayer? Well, God can do all sorts of things, but as we go through a couple things today, I want us to be mindful of what we might hear as we pray these prayers. Number one, it's search my heart. Search my heart, God. Now, why would we ask God to search our heart? He's all-knowing. He knows everything about us. He knows the things that we have done to bless Him and encourage the world around us in His name. He's also seen my deficiencies. And so why, Lord? Why does David say, search my heart? Well, the thing is that God's not forcing Himself. We need to ask Him to come into a place and space and renew our hearts in our mind. God is waiting you to open the door. And Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be what? Open. Hey, God, come inside me. We seek Him. He will show us our hearts. Because really, none of us have good hearts. We look at our hearts, and our hearts sometimes lie to us about the real condition. The evil one does that. He manipulates things that are pure and turns them into things that are untrue. We even say to others, they have good hearts. But we can only say that if we can take a quick look without doing any searching. And really, as humans, I understand that in Jeremiah 17:9 it says, the heart is what? deceitful, above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Well, the question, who can fully understand our deceit? God tells us that all of our hearts are deceitful and wicked. But Jesus Christ is the only answer for dealing with the evil in our hearts. God searches our hearts as we face things. There are times we have to face it. I'm not prideful. I can't help that I'm better at things than that person is. Or I'm not materialistic. I just need nice things. I'm not a gossip. I just need to give you all the details of these bad people so you can pray for them. If you take a risk and say, God, search me, we search through all of that stuff. It's a dangerous prayer because it's not something our culture really, okay, evaluate your heart, evaluate. Usually what we evaluate is what we do or how we do it or what kind of things when it comes to job performance. But really, that's not what God's intention is here. That's not what David is asking. He's saying, God, you're going to show me some things in my heart that are not pure. Now, God is not doing this to be cruel. His love for us is so deep and so vast. He wants us, as Scripture says, to conform in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we say this prayer, search my heart, God, what do you want me to do? Number two, show me what I fear. Reveal my fears. It says in verse 24, see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. See if there is something in me. And my question is to you this morning, do you have anything? And don't say it out loud. What makes you anxious? In this time of your life, what brings fear and anxiety in your heart? Somebody blow this off and say, hey, everybody worries. Not a big deal. No, I'm not talking about snakes or spiders or clowns. I'm talking about things internally that really have a hold on you. Maybe you feel like you're not where you are in your employment. Maybe you feel like you might lose your job, or you feel like maybe you're afraid that you're not able to give to the community like you want to, maybe you're afraid of failing. Maybe you're even afraid of succeeding or making that team. Or maybe you're afraid you're in your marriage there's some real discourse. You don't know how things are going to end up and you're fearful. They're all fears that we might have, and then some. David is asking these questions when God knows what we are worried about comes alongside of us. But I think this is really important to be aware of. What you and I fear the most is really where we trust God the least. And this is a hard statement that's very uncomfortable. But I've been wrestling with this myself. Lord, what do I trust you with? What kind of fear is overflowing my life where I am not trusting you first? I mean, the Word of God in 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no what? Fear in love. But perfect love drives out what? When love that is unconditional and powerful through Jesus Christ is in the building, fear leaves. But often myself and us, we like to hold on to those anxieties and fears. And David is like, show me my fears, show me my anxieties. That's dangerous. We become vulnerable, very vulnerable. And you know what? I've started praying this myself. Show me my fears. You know, I'm a pastor, but I'm a person just like you. And I'm a mess at times. And my life is under construction. None of us on this stage have it all figured out. We are right there with you, step by step. And lately, my anxiety has been about my daughter. Nothing she's done. I think about the future, and I think about some of the things that she's going to endure. Maybe she's going to deal with some painful broken relationship, or she's going to deal with, you know, she wanted to do something and then she can't, or her safety, or, you know, all these different things. And as soon as that's come into play, I've had to make a conscious decision. Do I trust God more than I trust my worry? When I fear, am I really going to trust in Him? The most common lie we tell ourselves is worry is concentrated thought. But really, I love what my great-grandmother used to say about worry. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't take you anywhere. Thank you, girls. Another thing that comes into play when we say, search me, is we uncover our sin. Dangerous prayer. We say, Lord, open me up. See what's inside me. God, reveal me anything that is inconsistent with the truth that you have. Put a spotlight on it. These spotlights put a spotlight. I mean, they're bright. So really, in a sense, we want God to just show us this. Show us, as I look to the mirror, the sin, the things that are. And at times we are professionals. At times I'm a professional at pointing out other people's sin. Though in a culture of deflection where someone must have done it worse than myself, I have to understand that first and foremost, I have to look in the mirror at myself. We accuse and then we excuse. How on earth we might say this person did this or that? No, I haven't done it that bad. But what that does is deflect us from really seeking what God wants us to say. So I want you to uncover your brokenness. David asked the Lord, see if there is an offensive way. It doesn't say in your neighbor. Offensive way in your friend. Offensive way in your coworker. It says in Scripture, is there any offensive way in who? Me. A dangerous prayer, an uncomfortable prayer, where God can move through when we say, Lord, I'm broken and I've broke things. But only you, oh God, can put them back together. In other words, God, what's in my life, but Lord, what is offensive to you? It is so easy for us to start making compromises with sin and the appearance of sin. Because I think sometimes when I know I'm in a situation where I'm separate from Him, we like to run away. I don't want to have those conversations. Most of us simply look at our hearts and give them an initial round of approval. And I'm mindful of this in the sense of this picture here that we show. This is a coach, an NFL coach. He's throwing a red flag. Anybody know what that red flag is? The challenge flag. Now, in professional football, if a call is made, certain calls, if a coach doesn't like the call, they throw a challenge flag. Really what happens is that referee takes a second look to see exactly what happened. So there's either two things that come, they be like, come to the middle of the field, they click on it a little quicker here. After further review of the play, it's a touchdown. And then either you're like, yeah, and you're like, no! Or they say this, they said, after review of the play, the runner was down by contact, first down. And they're like, ah! So what's interesting in this whole understanding is this is exactly what's happening to David in chapter 139. David throws the challenge flag to God. I want to invite you, God, to take a second look at my heart. But here's the thing. When we invite Him to take that look, there'll be times we're like, really? It's not what I was planning. I don't want to talk to that person. Lord, I don't want to move there. Lord, I don't want to do this. But the judgment is final in the sense of what God's going to say to us. A closer look to uncover my sin. God, You make the call. Paul has an understanding of this in the early church where we evaluate our hearts and our minds. He said this to early followers of Christ in the early church in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 31. Everyone ought to what? Examine themselves before the eating of the bread and drinking of the cup. For those who drink, eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. 30. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regards to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. For me and for many of us, some of us have excused our sin for too long. We think it's no longer a sin. We're not the first to fall into this trap, as Paul tells this New Testament, this early church, encourages them before even coming and taking communion. And as you, sometimes in this church, if you're here for communion, you come down and we say kind of a silent reflection. Really, the heart of that is as you are coming to partake in the body of Christ and the shedding of His blood, it's a time to really examine, where am I at with You, Jesus? And we have opportunities for people to kneel and pray, where am I at with You, Jesus? Evaluate, uncover the sin. But we know that if we do not repent of our sins, we do not find full freedom. He tells us that we come under the judgment, and yet through whom we find life. If you have the courage to pray this prayer, God is going to point some things out to you. Just because I deny the truth in my life doesn't make it false. Because I deny the truth in my life doesn't make it false. It's true, we are only as sick as our secrets. Lord, uncover my sin. A dangerous prayer. And then He doesn't leave us there and just uncover our sin and be in the sackcloth and ashes and feel like we're just always being oppressed and always, no, the enemy wants to make a sin like that. But following what Jesus does this, and His Father God says, I am going to lead you. I am going to walk with you. We are not left to wallow in our sin. There is freedom for us when we say, God, have it all. Search my heart. When we do this, it leads to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Make everything right. There is confessing that leads to amazing forgiveness and allows us to walk forward in freedom. Because my friends, to be led means to confessors find freedom that deniers don't. We live in a culture of denial. But let me tell you, there have been some situations in my life where I have wronged someone or done something wrong, and I have tried to deny it, covered up, it's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault. And I still hold that in my heart, but yeah, when it comes to, you know what, I've messed up. Even though there might be some aspects that are tough, I feel a sense of freedom lifted because I've confessed. I haven't denied. And He leads me in that way. And He's been able to do a deep cleaning that leads me. And in His leading of us, He will make us aware when the enemy tries to distract us. If you're familiar with black ice, when I lived in Virginia, we had some black ice. People didn't know what black ice was in Virginia. Because usually when it was 3 inches of snow, the milk was gone, and so were the Oreos. I don't know how that worked. Anyway. But they have this black ice, and you know what? We know what it is in Michigan, right? It's ice that you can't what? You can't see it. Now, is it still there?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The thing is to be aware that there is black ice that will come to try to impede us. Even though we can't see it, if you're not aware and you hit it, there's some problems. And the Lord wants us as he leads us to be aware of these potential things that can take us out. The evil one does not want us to pray these dangerous prayers. He doesn't want us to evaluate our heart. The evil one doesn't want us to point out that, Lord, we're broken. Because the evil one's like, you're fine. Just do what you want to do. It's your life. It's not ours, it's his. And we have to say, Lord, take a look. I want my relationship with you to be at the next level. I just don't want to just go to church or try to be a nice person. I want to be more. I want to be transparent. And I wait for you to search me. God is still saying, will you allow me to search you? God doesn't uncover fears or reveal sin in order to cast blame or even to correct bad behavior. He does it to drive you back to the grace of Christ again and again because of his deep and unfailing love for a broken person like me and you. We need his grace and power and help, conforming in the image of Christ. Couple questions to think about. Is there anything in your life that more than one person has spoken to you about that you are saying that there's no problem in it, but not mine? I think that was word very right. I'm sorry. The next one I want to go is right now I'm more concerned about what people think of me than God thinks of me. These are questions that point us to a really important thing. When the church continues to, and let me tell you, church, you have prayed some dangerous prayers. Why do I know this? It's because you decided to say, Lord, search our hearts. And we've decided to care for a bunch of kids and families at Schweitzer Elementary. Because we say, God, show us how to love our community. And guess what? There's going to be some blessings, but there might be the enemy that tries to come to play. Dangerous prayer. Lord, search my heart. How can I love people less than half a mile from us in Norway and show them the love of Jesus? And it might be uncomfortable. It might not make sense, but we're going to do it because you've called us to do it because we've searched our hearts. And that is the bleeding of our heart, is to love our community. It's dangerous prayer. And God is providing these opportunities as we continue to provide a place, a safe place for people to learn about God's Word. Learn what it means to follow Jesus while they're drinking coffee at Ford Road at Big B. Why? Because we said, Lord, search our hearts. We want to be you and our community. Not because we want to be bigger or better. It's because Jesus calls us to be his church, and our heart breaks for those that don't know him. It's dangerous prayer. It might mean that we'll get uncomfortable. So what? I would rather be uncomfortable than see my neighbors and friends not know the truth of Jesus. That will set them free. And I've seen marriage after marriage and finances after finances be given over to the living God. It's because of the dangerous prayer we said, search my heart. It's not easy. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it means it's something we should do. As the worship team comes up, maybe today, it's been a long time since you've had that conversation with the Lord. Maybe it's been a conversation that you didn't want to have. But this morning, I want to invite you, if you want to make a recommitment, to say, search me, God. Or maybe it's the first time you want to ask Christ into your life, to say, search me, God, be my. We're going to have some prayer up on the screen here. But first I want to read this to us. I think there's a thing in Romans on there. You guys put that there? It says this, that therefore there's no one righteous, not even one. And because of that, he is righteous and he is good. So I'm going to ask that every head bowed and eye closed for a second as we pray this prayer. And again, it says in Scripture, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So if you would like to make a recommitment to Christ, say, search my heart, uncover my sin. May your trust, I want my trust to be in you, Jesus, not in fear. Would you pray this prayer this morning? Every head bowed and eye closed. God, I'm sorry for all the ways I've messed up. And I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. Today I put my faith in Jesus as the one and only who can save me. And the God I will follow from this day forward, help me to become more like you and to show your love to those around me. In Jesus' name. And for those that prayed that prayer this morning and you made a recommitment, you'll notice as Bill Ortel talked about in the beginning of the service about our amazing connection card, would you just fill out if you made a recommitment or commitment, and we'll follow up with you and find a way to connect. Now we're moving to a time to be generous.